Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show that you're listening to. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It is first day of duck season, and if you're headed out, we'd love to hear from you. If you're on your way, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Everything but black ducks today, I believe, and the daily duck bag limit is 6 ducks, including mergansers, shall consist of no more than 5 long-tailed ducks, 4 scoters, 4 mallards, maximum of 2 hens, 3 wood ducks, 2 scop, which are bluebills or blackheads or river duck, whatever you colloquially call them, 2 redheads, 2 pintails, 2 hooded mergansers, 1 canvasback, one black duck during the, well, it is black duck season. I'm sorry. I apologize. It is black duck season. You can take one black duck, one fulvous tree duck, and one mottled duck. All other species except harlequins may be taken up to the 6 duck bag limit. The possession limit is 3 times the daily bag limit. In addition, the duck bag limit hunters may take 15 coots per day. There is no open season on harlequin ducks and swans. So everything's open today through the 28th, and hopefully I'll be able to get out there and take a crack at a few ducks during this first split. So if you're, you know, like I said, if you're on the road, if you're headed that way, we'd be more than glad to have you give us a call here and let us know where you're headed and who's with you and all of that. Let's talk to, look at that, right away. Our phone number here is 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And there's Richard in Westminster who's headed out today. Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. I'm doing great. I'm heading out to my hunt spot.
Deer hunting? Are you deer hunting today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm deer hunting. Yeah, I hunted like 3 days this past week. The rain and the wind kept me in Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But I've been seeing a little bit of rut activity. Nothing, you know, too hot heavy, but I have seen some quality bucks.
Oh, there's some nice deer out there. As I travel from place to place, butcher shop to butcher shop, the guys are starting to see some pretty good deer. And, you know, it all depends on where you are, quite frankly. You know, the rain, I would like to have been out there Friday, but I had to work. But, you know, the rain on Thursday just wiped out all the scrapes and all the activity on the scrapes. And I'm sure Friday morning those bucks would have been moving to freshen up those scrapes and attract those girls, you know.
Yeah, Friday morning might not have been bad, but Friday afternoon was wicked windy.
It was windy, yeah.
I'm not getting, you know, in a tree in those windy conditions. And if it's real windy, I'm not even setting foot in the woods.
Yeah, I understand. But
you know, I'm starting to see them run around, even with this full moon. I don't know. We'll hope to see some good activity.
Well, you know, people talk about the full moon all the time. They talk about, you know, the deer don't travel in the full moon. And I, you know, I used to pay a lot of attention to the moon, and I pay less attention as I go by because I go out and I look at the moon and I go, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I pay more attention, quite frankly, to the tide activity. I pay more attention to the sole lunar table, so to speak. And where I hunt in Cecil County, so I base my time of activity an hour before and an hour after the high tide, which right there I use the Sassafras River. So you just basically take a look at the map and you draw a line across wherever your tide correlates to, whether you're in Frederick County or on the Eastern Shore. You know, if like right now, I'm thinking if you're in Howard County, you're probably going to be looking at maybe the Baltimore tide or something like that. But plan your time to be most alert on an hour on either side of the tide.
I've never heard of that, especially relating to, you know, hunting deer.
Well, you think about this, okay? Domestic animals, cattle and sheep and horses, when they're left outside for any length of time, they develop their own internal clock. What determines when they get up and feed and when they don't? Yeah, that's right. It's the lunar cycle. It's the lunar cycle. So if you're going hunting and the cattle are on their feet, the deer are on their feet. If the cattle were laying down, the deer are laying down.
Oh, okay.
If you've had, like Wednesday, I was out in the stand Wednesday for a couple of hours. A friend of mine told me this after I told him I was hunting Wednesday, he said, you know that front coming through? He said, I found that the deer will lay down like the cows do right just prior to the front. But if you're out there the day before a cold front comes through, like we had on Wednesday, that's the day of the activity. And also, like I mentioned, the rain and the scrapes. I was on the Eastern Shore on Thursday, and I was in Caroline County near Denton, headed back to Tuckahoe State Park. And there was a field. I looked. There was a field there. There were eight deer in the field, six does, two nice rack bucks, antlers out past their ears, and those bucks were running those poor does all over the place. But they were out in the middle of the field running them. You know, it was like.
Right,
pick one, but
yeah.
But they,
maybe it's just in my head that over the past years I just have not seen a whole lot in the mornings when I'm
This time of year during the rut that can be the best time.
Oh yeah, no, I'm throwing everything out the window during the rut.
A friend of mine shot one yesterday morning at 6:15, and that was the second buck that he had seen.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and they're cruising. They're moving. I mean, I don't hesitate to get out there in the morning during the rut.
Oh, no, I'm a morning hunter. I mean, I'm usually, like I said, I just pulled over now to make the call, but I'd probably be unpacking my gear by now. I'm 9 miles from my house, which is really nice.
That is nice.
For me.
Well, don't let me hold you up.
Oh, no, I don't mind. I still have plenty of time. I like to get out there a little, you know, way before break of light. But
yeah, I like to get out there. I like to get in a tree about a half hour, 20 minutes before legal shooting time. Get settled in, get settled down, get quiet, you know.
Yep, same here. My best activity just seems to be from 7:30 to 8:30.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't see squat, you know, even though it looks perfect and everything looks great, you know, I just sometimes don't see squat till about 7:30.
Yeah, you know, when I hunt these managed hunts, I like to get in the tree early and, you know, sit through the twilight, get to sunrise, and I just keep saying, boy, I hope I don't see a deer because, you know, a managed hunt, you got to shoot an antlerless deer, and you only make a mistake once, and I made that mistake. I shot a small buck that didn't qualify for, as an antlerless deer. And what I thought I had was a doe and a fawn, and it turned out that I had a spike buck chasing a doe, small doe. And I made that mistake and called the hunt coordinator, said, look, I think I screwed up. And he said, well, that's your buck for the year. I said, man, what a reward that is, you know. But, you know, and I was okay with that. That was a penalty that I was willing to pay. But,
right.
You know, I don't want to see a deer on a managed hunt until I'm at full light, you know.
Right.
You know, but I mean, if you're hunting the rut, you've got a buck in mind. I mean, there's no question that twilight up through sunrise is a very good time to see him moving. So
yeah, I'm hunting out of a portable. I just relocated a couple days ago. I moved about 150 yards due west from where I had been. It's a relatively new spot. It's only my second full season in this woods.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Are you
on a buck trail? Are you on a deer trail? Are you on a scrape line?
Right now,
are you?
I'm just saying I'm on a general deer trail. I'm not going to say I'm even though I've been hunting a long time, I'm not such an accomplished woodsman and hunter that I can say, yeah, this is a buck trail or I'm hunting this particular buck. I'm setting up. I mean, it's such a great location.
Well, there's
a great farm that.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but there are so many indications where you can improve your odds. You know, there's a general deer trail. You're going to see that deer trail, but you're going to see those secondary trails that sometimes parallel those other deer trails. They're just not that easy to see, and you've got to go out and pre-scout it. You've got to go out and see where those trails are. I mean, if you're looking, you can see a rub line. A rub line is a territory line. You can, you know, and that's very apparent this time of year. That's where the buck is marking his territory. You get to regular size, you know, you get to scrapes, you get to community scrapes, and then you get to the scrape that's proprietary. You find the overhanging licking branches and you know kind of where the bucks are going to be coming to, you know, and that's where you want to waylay them to and from those scrapes. You don't want to sit on a scrape necessarily and watch that, because they're going to circle that scrape from downwind. They're going to come in from downwind. And, you know, if you're sitting too close, they're going to bust you. He's going to bust you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's a number of just basic things that, you know, you just kind of comply with. So, So, but anyway, Richard, I'll let you go. You enjoy your day out there and report back to us if you get one.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it. You have a good day. Always enjoy your show.
All right, buddy. Thanks. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Richard. Let's talk to Justin in Sudlersville. Good morning, Justin. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, sir?
Good. Good. Thanks for holding on. What's up?
No problem. I just want to let you know, all the hunters know, like, you know, make sure you're donating your deer to the Doe Harvest Challenge.
Right.
One, I mean, I was actually fortunate. I won that one, I guess, one of the...
Let me ask you, you're a pretty good-sized guy with a big red beard. Is that you?
Yep, that's me.
Ah, I saw your picture. Yep. Yeah, that is a great program, and they're a great sponsor. I talked to Matt Wilson the other day at his office of FHFH, and of course, in this issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, we published a press release that their funding has been cut by a certain degree. Yeah, so they're notifying the butchers, you know, of what they need to do and that type of thing. But the Doe Challenge is funded and rocking and rolling. And people don't know this necessarily about, because we talk about does all the time. You can donate your buck to Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. You can get your cape and you can get your head and everything else. But if you want to donate to meat, you're welcome to do that. I donated about one of the bucks I shot this year.
Yeah, I donated it was a button buck that I accidentally shot, but
yeah,
donated that last week.
Accidentally, last year, I know how that goes. I did that in muzzleloader season. So
last year I only killed one donated and ended up actually winning that. So.
Yeah, really good for you. One of our listeners, Gary Gray, won two of those. Not the grand prize, but two of the prizes, one from each butcher shop, believe it or not, I think he's in Caroline County. And that was kind of cool. He got picked at both shops. So
mine was from Charlie Whitetail.
Oh, Charlie George. What a great guy. Owns Cypress Creek Archery. Yep. I was actually at Richard's Deer Shop the other day. And in light of full disclosure, Richard gave me a stick of bologna. And he said, I've been making bologna for 40 years. Try this. He said, it's the best. I said, I don't know that. How do I know that? And he looked at me sideways and said, I guess I'm going to have to give you a stick of bologna. And I said, hey, that's your call, buddy. Well, he gave me half a stick of pepper bologna and told me how he does it with the eggs in the morning. And he said, you know, just warm it up, fry an egg, put it on an English muffin with a piece of cheese. I'm telling you what. There ain't no Egg McMuffin that compares with that.
There's not.
Yeah, so he's over there in Caroline County outside of Ridgely, so he's a good guy. Good guy. So anyway, Justin,
I
appreciate you calling in and promoting the Doe Challenge. We talk about it here quite a bit, but you're one of the grand prize winners. Now, what did you finally wind up winning?
It was a $250 gift card.
Right.
Bass Pro.
Right. Well, that's good. And you got a knife or something, I think, and some other, I don't know. Yep. Well, good. Well,
I was surprised. I didn't plan on winning. One of those things you do, but you never think you'll really actually win.
You do it because you want to do it.
Exactly. I never planned on winning, and when I did, it was surprised. So.
I got you. Beautiful. All right, Justin, have you been out, other than the button buck, have you been out this year?
I was out yesterday morning.
Were they moving yesterday morning?
I had a monster chasing a doe.
Oh, boy.
Eight o'clock.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, I had a spike come through. But, I mean, they're rutting.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Didn't get a shot at him, huh?
She took the trail right outside of my shooting lane. Ah. Like, right on the edge of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're set up on a primary deer trail, and you should have been set up on a secondary deer trail.
Yep.
That's all right. No problem at all.
Ain't no thing.
No, yep, you'll get out there and get him again, won't you?
On my way right now.
All right, well, good luck. Report back to us if you get one.
All right, buddy.
I know a friend of mine in Caroline County is on the trail this morning of a 14-point that's probably a 170-inch buck.
The one I seen yesterday was one of the biggest bucks I've ever seen while in the woods hunting.
Well, so. Get him, man, and then I want a picture for the quarterly, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Justin. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Justin. Yep. Good guy, good guy. Hey, the 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge is underway. We're talking about hunting here, but there's plenty of fishing out there. You could win a great prize like a grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour, too. Late fall, right now, is a great time to hit the freshwater streams, lakes, and rivers as all manner of fish load up on calories for winter. Lots of trout. You know, some of the trout are spawning and they're feeding up for winter. Walleyes and northern pike in the west, a largemouth and smallmouth bass in our great river systems and local impoundments. The bay has some heavy hitter rockfish out there too, and all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Award size fish, certify your catch at an Angler Award Center and enter online. You're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local Angler Award Center, check the fishing rule book, even visit the website www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Hey, I stopped by Chesapeake Outdoors the other day, and you should too. Chesapeake Outdoors is the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, located right there on Kent Island, Route 50 East, exit 39B, right there in Kent Island. As soon as you cross the bridge, you start looking at those exit numbers, and there's 39B Dominion Road right in your face. You'll see the store on the right before you get to the exit, so you'll know what you're looking at. Chesapeake Outdoors carries firearms and ammunition for all manner of hunting. In other words, deer hunting and waterfowl hunting, they've got it all. The largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area and everything that goes with it, all the accessories. They will pick your goose and duck today, starting today. So if you kill a limit or not, head on down to Chesapeake Outdoors and get them picked. They have a full complement of clothing from Under Armour and Drake. Decoys by Bigfoot and Avery. And let's not forget the full selection of bows and crossbows. Matthews, Mission, Excalibur, Barnett, Parker, Carbon Express. They've got them all. And to fillet and release your fish and to cut up your deer, they've got the famous Bubba Blade knives. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. That's Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. You'll enjoy your visit.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Congratulations, Buck Baum, on your 10th anniversary.
Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity scent. And Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estrus spray is still number one to attract bucks. The detonator is a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent. Hang it on a nearby limb and bring the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estrus scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
Now you can hear 3 hours of The Great One, Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find a party and try to get in touch with me. She could not leave a number, but I know a place to call. Cause my uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who called me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Their home is on the south side, high up on the ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi River.
Hey, little Memphis there from Johnny Rivers. Turned 72 yesterday, Mr. Rivers did, so he did. All right. Let's see. Hey, I want to talk about strict liability. So if you waterfowl hunters aren't out of the car yet, just hang in there for a few minutes. Because if you picked up one of these little folders, it comes out every year with the duck and goose seasons on it. There's a special notice for waterfowl hunters on the front that talks about baiting. And I don't recall in the past seeing the strict liability mentioned on there, but we're going to talk about that very subject because that was the topic and the focus the Maryland Hunting Coalition this week in a meeting on the Maryland Eastern Shore with Maryland Guides and Outfitters Association. Sean Mann was there. There were some attorneys there. There were some delegates there. There were some real estate people there, some people affiliated with the Farm Bureau, and we're looking at strict liability, just so you know. Let's talk to Russ in Dundalk. Good morning, Russ. How you doing?
Hey, how are you? Good to talk to you again, Alan.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you, Russ.
Hey, last week, in a passing statement that caught my attention, you were talking a little bit about the Senate Bill 281.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, I was there also, and I remember how it almost looked like they were playing video games on the computer when we were in the room there. And
they do.
Address that.
Yeah, they do. They don't care.
Well, one of the things that you said that really clicked with me was about when they, you mentioned that they would go through the names of the people who were coming up to speaking, and if they weren't registered to vote, they would just, like, you know, circle file that right away.
Well, that's, well, not only the people that were coming up to speak, but the people that were sending the emails and the letters and the phone calls. You know, they'd write their name down and they'd run it against the database on the voter registration rules. And you're right, they would circle file it because that person was meaningless to them.
Now, is that because of, you know, their attitude towards people who aren't even registered? They didn't feel threatened in any way? Or
well, that's,
is there
some
kind of rule?
That's no, that's absolutely part of it. I mean, look, if you can't support me, you have let me give it to you in shorthand. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice.
Understood.
Okay. Okay. So if I look at your name and you're not on the voter rolls as being registered to vote, you can't help me and you can't help the guy across the aisle and you can't help the woman at the end of the table.
Understood.
Okay.
Now,
if you don't care enough to become involved in the process, why should I listen to you?
Agreed, to a certain extent. But I think what confuses me is the thousands of people who were there that day. Now, whether they're, you know, registered voters or not, and believe me, I believe everybody should be a registered voter. It's a right you should exercise to the full extent. But it just seems to me that, you know, just by showing up, taking a day off of work, being there.
Meaningless.
The people that were there all day long for hours and hours waiting. For
meaningless. The exercise, exercise in futility, Russ.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, look, there's a principle called WIFM. Do you know what that means?
I don't.
What's in it for me?
Okay.
Okay. What's in it for the people that showed up that didn't weren't registered to vote and didn't vote? What was in it for them is that they got to be part of a group mentality, and that group was meaningful to them.
Okay.
Okay. And they thought they were making an impression. They were not if they were not registered to vote. You've got to qualify yourself to put yourself in that position.
Gotcha. Now, do we have any kind of numbers as to, like, how many people showed up who were registered voters?
I don't know the answer to that, no. You'd have to get to the gun groups that organized those events.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I was talking about, what prompted that conversation was the Blaze and Camo Day that we're planning on February 5th from 9 to 11. In Annapolis, we're going to walk to the State House, and we're actually working with some of the delegates to have one of our bills heard on that day, February 5th, so that we can attend the hearing as well.
Okay.
All right.
I remember you talking about that. It's my intention to be there.
Yep.
My second question kind of dovetails into that, and you just mentioned again, you know, this issue with baiting on the farms.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have a new governor and, you know, hopefully some new direction. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. I remember a couple of years ago, it was the year before the hunting fees were raised in Maryland.
That was 24 years ago.
Well, I mean, the recent hunting license that, you know, it went up a few bucks about a year or two ago.
No, it did not. That bill failed.
It did fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember Governor O'Malley at the time, there was a press conference about the budget, and he made a comment that I think no, unless you're a hunter and understand Pittman Robinson, you wouldn't have picked up on it. But he said that when this legislation came through, and he said, well, unless we can find a way to raise some of the money going into the hunting industry and do that. Now, we know that they can't do that under federal law. They can't.
No, they cannot.
But I do. It does look to me with what happened with that and then the Senate Bill 281, there's just been a string of things. And now what you're dealing with the horse riders on Sunday hunting,
right,
all that sort of thing, to me it just seems too much of a coincidence that, you know, he made these comments and he was clearly bugged that he couldn't get into that, and he was challenged on it by, you know, people who were in the hunting industry at that time.
Right.
It just seems like there's a little bit of a, well, then fine, I'll get you this way.
Well, quite frankly, at that time, we had a representative in Annapolis. We had an advocate. That was 2012, I think, or 13.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, and we had an advocate there. This session in 2014, we did not. In 2015, we will. Because we hired Bill Miles. The Maryland Hunting Coalition hired Bill Miles, who's been in the halls of Annapolis for 30 years. And the last dozen or so years he spent there, other than this year, on behalf of sportsmen. And we hired Bill. And that's why we appeal for people to help us financially with the Maryland Hunting Coalition, because none of the officers and none of the directors or myself get any kind of pay. We're all volunteers. But we've got to pay Bill for his services to go to Annapolis.
Right.
And
right.
When you talked about strict liability, we had this conversation. Here's what happened this week. We were approached by a couple of different entities to address strict liability. And people don't know what strict liability is, but on the front of this Maryland Migratory Game Bird Hunting Season's sheet, it says, strict liability, what hunters should know, in bold print, in the last paragraph. Maryland's baiting regulation is more restrictive than federal regulations. In Maryland's migratory bird baiting regulation, it is not necessary for a hunter to know that an area is baited to be in violation.
Crazy.
A violation of this regulation is considered a strict liability offense. It is incumbent upon the hunter to take all reasonable steps to ensure that the hunting area is not or has not been baited. The Maryland DNR recommends the following. The hunter should become familiar with normal farming practices in the area. Consult with your USDA state extension specialist. The hunter should make inquiries of the waterfowl hunting guide, farmer, and or landowner regarding the farming practices and any possible baiting on or near the hunting area. The hunter should thoroughly inspect the hunting area prior to hunting. Leave the hunting site if you find grain or feed in an area and are uncertain about why it is there. What does this say to anybody that wants to come to Maryland to participate in our vast waterfowl season? It says to me, stay the hell home. Come to a Maryland, you're going to get arrested.
I don't want to take a chance.
Why would you take a chance?
Yeah.
Why would you want to? Listen.
We're like the, you know, Maryland and the Chesapeake Bay region is like the best waterfowling, arguably, in the world.
Listen to this. We've had television shows with Bing Crosby. Filmed in Chestertown about the great Canada goose hunting in Maryland.
Yes.
We've got the Ward Museum in Salisbury. We've got the Waterfowl Festival in Easton. We've got the Upper Bay Museum. We've got the Decoy Museum in Havre de Grace.
Yes.
We are steeped in waterfowl hunting tradition, and our own Department of Natural Resources Police want to make it as difficult as possible for somebody to hunt here. Strict liability has ruined lives and has made psychological casualties of many hunters who have been written up, fined, found guilty, had their hunting license suspended, been put on the Wildlife Violators Compact. For what? For showing up with a guide in a waterfowl stand?
My first experience was about 5 years ago. I was invited to a farm out in Westminster. Well, actually, closer to Hampstead. But
right. I knew who you were hunting with. Okay.
I had never been on a farm waterfowling before or anything. And,
right.
You know, it was with a pretty big name national group that with their local,
yep.
You know, chapter.
Yep.
And so I was invited to go, and I went out, and we're getting set up. In the morning, we get our blinds set up. It's still dark. And, you know, I'm just standing around. We're waiting.
Right.
And I see a couple pieces of corn kernel.
Right.
In the stalks down
right.
on the ground. And
right.
I bend over and pick it up. And I got jumped on.
Oh, yeah.
I had just, you know, slapped a woman or something. I mean, these guys were on me like literally flies on crap.
I know.
I'm like, what did I do? What did I do? And they're like, that's baiting. That's baiting. You can't touch it.
You can't touch it. That's absolutely right.
I'm like, wow. I mean, it was a piece of corn kernel.
I, no,
mean,
I know.
You're talking like a pile or a stack.
It doesn't matter. One kernel will convict you, sir.
It's out of control. Out of control.
Let me tell you what happened this week. On Thursday, a group of concerned men, not to leave the ladies out, but there weren't any ladies there. We had attorneys. We had delegates. We had landowners. We had real estate people. We had people who had connections with the Farm Bureau. We had the president of the Guides and Outfitters Association. We had Sean Mann. We had well-connected individuals there in the room. There were about probably 18 to 20 people in the room. And the topic of our conversation, as guided by the Maryland Hunting Coalition and our lobbyist, Bill Miles, revolved around strict liability and what our strategy is about strict liability in the upcoming General Assembly. And these men all agreed that we should go forward with our plan. And they all agreed that they would support the Maryland Hunting Coalition. But we need the support of every waterfowl hunter in Maryland on strict liability. Because, again, this you get arrested for strict liability, you face suspension of your license for up to 5 years, which means once that happens, you are entered on the Wildlife Violators Compact. That's 30-some states that work with each other. When your license is suspended here and you want to go to Colorado and hunt elk next September and your license is suspended here, guess what? You ain't hunting in Colorado.
Wow.
You want to go to Saskatchewan on some fantastic waterfowl hunt up there for a week? Guess what? You ain't going because your license is suspended. Because of what? Because you had the audacity to show up to hunt with somebody on the Eastern Shore. And NRP rolls up, and without This is where the law varies from the federal statute that I just read. They're more restrictive. This is one of the places where it varies. Intent does not come into play. It does with the federal law, but what I mean by that is you didn't intend to bait that field. You just showed up. Well, the feds take that into consideration. The Maryland Department of Natural Resources Police do not take that into consideration as far as intent. If you're there, you're guilty.
It makes it like somehow we're responsible for whatever the landowner.
Exactly. And think about the landowner wanting to lease his property for waterfowl hunting and how this affects leases.
Wow.
Think about, I'm a landowner. I've got 300 acres here I could get $15,000 for the season. But I don't want to put myself at risk to, you know, in case somebody charges somebody on my property with baiting. Are they coming after me? Trust me.
That brings up a question. You know, let's say I'm a waterfowler and DNR pulls up and I get cited under this strict liability. You know, I say, well, look, you know, I mean, we just came here. The landowner farmed and harvested 2 weeks ago, and, you know, I can't help it that there's a couple corn kernels. Now, what happens to that landowner?
Good question. Sometimes they're charged, sometimes they're not.
Wow.
And are they subject to you suing them? These are all the things that we're looking
at. You've got to recover your loss somewhere.
Yeah. Why do you think that a lot of these guys are unwilling to lease their properties? So,
understood. Wow.
So, now that you know all this,
mm-hmm.
Russ,
yes, sir.
The question begs, how can you and other waterfowlers change it? And the answer is simple. Support the Maryland Hunting Coalition. First, join online, mdhuntingcoalition.org. Secondly, contribute.
Yes, sir.
That's very simple. The meeting has taken place. We had two delegates there that pledged support. We had landowners and attorneys and all the people that I mentioned that have pledged support.
Well,
we need to see the support before we can go forward. That's all.
Absolutely. You hinted last week before the election that you guys were comfortable with how things might go should things go our way. And obviously they went our way. So, I mean, are you able to elaborate or talk about maybe some of the connections we have in our
government? We had quite frankly, everybody at the table was a Republican. And right. The delegates, of course, were high on their victory in Annapolis.
Yeah.
All right. The Maryland Hunting Coalition is nonpartisan. So if it had gone the other way, we would have still had the meeting, and we would have still had to move forward on it. It might have been a little more difficult, but don't think for a minute it's going to be easy. Nothing is easy in Annapolis.
No, I understood.
Because people in leadership positions are in leadership positions, and a lot of those positions haven't changed.
Understood.
On Environmental Matters Committee and other things like that. So it's going to be a tough row. And we're going up against the administration. No matter what that administration is, the NRP is part of the administration.
Get it.
Got it? Good.
I do.
Good.
One more question
like a commercial.
Relating to this.
Yes.
Hogan.
Yes.
You know, he kind of mentioned that he was not going to make any changes to any of the laws that had been put in place, and that would include, of course,
yeah.
SB 281.
Yeah.
In light of that, is he a friend to us, or do you know yet?
I don't know yet, but as far as I know, the people in the room, some of the people in the room, knew him quite well.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, When we were done with our meeting, and one of the fellows that was at the table left, and within 15 minutes had sent us a selfie of him and the governor-elect.
Okay.
So
that's a little more than a hint.
Yeah, that's a little more than a hint. So there were people in the room who are friendly with the new administration, the incoming administration. But that does not mean a single thing when you get to that 90-day session.
I get it. Yep.
Because the people on the committee that make the decisions whether to move a law forward or table it are still in position.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I get it.
Thanks, Russ.
Called in about the CVA also, so.
Yeah, we got your name.
Take care, brother.
All right, Russ. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Bye-bye. See ya. Bye-bye. Whew. Hi. Wow. Let's talk to Wes. Good morning, Wesley. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. Man, that was exciting. That was great.
How do we... Man. I'm worn out. I don't know if I can do the second hour. What's up, brother?
I want to call and, well, thank you because my son won the CVA last month. And, oh, my goodness, it was so cool. When I got home, you know, I said, hey, did you check your messages? He goes, yeah, I won.
Nah.
I won,
Dad. That's cool.
But you know what's even cooler than that? We were talking about it. He said, you know, Dad, I already have my muzzle loader.
Yep.
I'm going to give this to Tommy. That's his brother.
Oh, that's great.
He just got his hunting license 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's great, man.
So I was just like, are you kidding me?
That is tremendous. You know, the generosity of the younger generation never ceases to amaze me.
It amazed me because, you know, I was fully expecting. Now I got two.
Yeah, right. Nope.
No way.
Wonderful.
Give this one to Tom.
Well, I got the acknowledgement the other day from the folks at CVA. They're processing the order, so it should be coming out to you in a week or 10 days.
Yeah, we're going to be looking for it.
All right.
Excited.
Very good. And let me know what model you get when you get it. I appreciate that.
Oh, I will do that.
It's going to be an Optima V2. If you want to go on the CVA website, CVA.com, and
okay.
You can check the Optima V2, but I don't know what model of Optima V2 it's going to be.
All right, we'll take a look at it. I'll definitely report back to you.
You do that, buddy.
Hey,
congratulations.
I appreciate so much that you guys are out there for us in the legislation, and, you know, I pledge my help and my support, too.
Well, we appreciate that.
That you're doing this.
Well, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, you prompted something here. People want to know how they can help. If you would indulge me to give the address, it's Maryland Hunting Coalition, and it's P.O. Box 451, Sykesville, Maryland, right there in Carroll County, 21784. That's how you can contribute via check. Now, if you're used to doing things online, you can go to mdhuntingcoalition.org. That's MD, Maryland, huntingcoalition.org, O-R-G. And any of the pages have a donate button. You click on the donate button, and you can do it. You do a donation with your credit card right there online.
Yeah, I'm going to get one there and get into that.
And we are also looking for sponsors for Blaze and Camo Day. And if anybody would like to contact me, we'll tell you how that can work too.
Okay.
And you simply, I'm using my business email address rather than the coalition email address. I use that for Coalition Business Online. But outside of that, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And Ellis Outdoors. If you go to ellisoutdoors.com, the website that houses the radio show,
right.
there's a button there you can click right through to the coalition, too.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Yeah, sounds great.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Wes.
A lot, Alan.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. I said to the guys, what firearm would you like me to promote on the radio show? They said, first of all, tell people we got some 22 long rifles in. I said, okay, I'll tell them that. But the A5 has been the hottest selling semi-automatic shotgun. Now, Browning makes the A5. Browning makes the Maxis. Browning makes the Gold Light 10-gauge if you need a 10-gauge to goose hunt with. They make the BPS pump, and the BPS pump is great. It has bottom ejection. Comes in everything from 410 to 28 to 20 to 16 to 12 and 10 gauge models. 12 and 20 gauge rifled barrel deer models are available, but the A5, that's the one. Now, the 3.5 inch are the ones that are the hardest to get if you require 3.5 inch, but there are 3 inch in stock, 3 inch shot shells in stock with a 3 inch chamber. And they're available in camo, they're available in wood, and they're available in black synthetic. When I say wood, I mean, you know, walnut stock with the blued finish, the traditional firearms finish. But they're also available in the the camo, whatever they call it, DuraShield, armor shield, or something that protects the firearm from rust in Mossy Oak camo. So why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9. You can give them a call at 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. And check out the full line of Browning firearms at Clyde Sports Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The Savage Nation with Michael Savage. Now on for 3 hours, weeknights at 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars there. Shotgun. Shotgun. Well, we're giving away a muzzleloader. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. If you'd like to get in on the drawing, all you have to do is give us a call. You leave your name and phone number with the producer, then you go on the air and you say, hi, I want to get in the drawing, have a nice day, and I say, you have a nice day too, thanks for entering,
and away we go. Or we can talk about anything you want to talk about, like whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about strict liability, you want to talk about Sunday hunting, you want to talk about fishing, we'll talk about fishing. You know, we now are, I believe, a year-round sponsor of the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and 2015, of course, is underway. But Jim Bovis of Severna Park caught a 14-inch white perch at one of the Bay Bridge pilings in 50 feet of water this week. John Bowman of Annapolis caught a 24-inch chain pickerel on the 5th. Robert Richards of Burtonsville got a 12.5-inch bluegill at Rocky Gorge and a 22-inch largemouth bass also at Rocky Gorge. And Ryan Johnson of Elk Ridge caught a 34-inch bluefish. All those were this week's entrants into the Maryland Fishing Challenge. So there's plenty of fish out there. I caught a 24-inch pickerel, and I didn't register it out of Deep Creek not that long ago. Anyway, all right, let's talk to Bill in Owings Mills. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. How are you today?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Like your show.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I try to listen more than call because you keep people pretty informative. Informed on what's going on. I was out with a good friend of mine out to the Liberty Reservoir, and I was talking with two hell of a nice guys. And,
yep.
They were telling me how much, what's going on transpired in the world of fishing. This was a sport I grew up with my dad. We used to go down to Chesapeake Bay and
Bill,
support fishing.
You better get to the point real quick because the music's coming up. You got like 15 seconds.
Okay. Can I wait over?
Yeah, sure. Hold on.
Okay,
we'll talk to you first next hour. Okay? And Bruce, you're in the same boat. The music's coming up. That means we've got to take a hard break for the news. The top of the hour. We appreciate you calling in. You're welcome to stay. Brian will pick you up and talk to you there for a minute, let you know when we're coming back on. And we'll be right back after the news. Now get out, stay out. And you waterfowlers and deer hunters out there, stay safe. Wear your safety harness, deer hunters. Your life's not worth the fall.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry.